a Unitarian Universalist minister. This has been One Land, Many Voices for Friday, January 27th, 2017. If you missed any part of the show or would like to hear it again, share it with your friends and your family. You can find it online at kboo.fm/onelandmoneyvoices. Thank you for joining us today. Be sure to tune in every fourth Friday on the month at 9 a.m. I'm your host, Mohammed Abdul.
بتقدر أبدا تلغيني بدك تسمعني وتحكيني ما بتقدر أبدا تلغيني بدك تسمعني وتحكيني وإذا فكرك عم بتداويني مش هيدا هو الدواء
أنا بتنفس حرية ما تقطع
This is KBOO Portland. It's 10:01 a.m. Coming up, it's Chris Andre with Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. Followed at 10:15 with Flashpoints, Dennis Bernstein, your daily investigative news magazine. As always, we'll be rebroadcasting yesterday evening's program from our good friends at KPFA in Berkeley. At 11, Pacific Underground brings you interviews with Douglas Choi, the founder of Portland Underground Grad School, or PUGS, and Portland rock band The Slants discuss their recent Supreme Court case. And thanks to all the KBOO members for your generous support. If you're not currently a member of the KBOO Foundation, say it with me, folks. You can remedy that oversight at kboo.fm. You click on the word donate. All that's coming up right after these important announcements, so stay tuned.
Join KBOO every Friday at 5:30 p.m. for Counterspin, a show that provides a critical examination of major media stories and exposes what the mainstream media missed. Counterspin exposes and highlights censored stories, sexism, racism, and homophobia in the news, the power of corporate influence, gaffes and goofs by leading TV pundits, and more. That's every Friday at 5:30 p.m. here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Portland Underground Grad School. Classes that begin in February include food, social identities and justice, Western art, navigating white spaces, internalized oppression, our psyches, plus pushing back, and more. Portland Underground Grad School is also known as PUGS. Classes take place all over the Portland metro area. Information about registering, teaching classes, and more can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Friday, January 27th, 2017, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio, your sanctuary radio, at 90.7 FM on the air, KBOO.FM everywhere. Today, there's a little bit of weather out there, not much. It's a blue screen, apparently, so you'll be able to project whatever your most vivid fantasies regarding climate right up there on all of that blue. For today, the National Weather Service says that there might be some showers, so take that as you will. Otherwise, partly sunny with a high near 52. East wind 6 to 11, and then coming further on down into the week, the weekend, don't have quite yet all of the notes for that. We are going to finish that off, though, as soon as possible, because we really need to get to our guest today. Matt Stannard has generously come back to talk a little bit more about public banking, what it is, and all the many things that it is, actually. Public banking is... it can be considered a simple solution to many cities' financial woes, but it has many other faces. And what we started talking about yesterday, public banking's potential to solve sanctuary cities' financial problems if the federal government, Trump's government, decides to withdraw funds from that area as a childish retribution. It's just like a little boy, very spoiled little boy, having a tantrum because he can't have what he wants. The more we observe Donald Trump's behavior this his first week, this is Donnie's first week at school. So how did he do? Well, he pretty much left no stone unturned. If you think this is bad, it's going to get many, many times worse. Many times worse. However much people disliked Hillary, Hillary Clinton thought she was very hawkish and thought she took to Wall Street, I don't quite think she would have got us into this much trouble this quickly. But then we don't know, right? We never will know. Trump, of course, has started off a vicious trade war with Mexico, one that we really don't need. Again, NAFTA, not a good idea. Trade war with Mexico, terrible idea. So that's, I believe it's some sort of fungus in South America, which has an enormous tuft of orange scales, has been named after Donald Trump in his honor. That said, welcome, Matt. Thank you so very much for coming back to talk to us a little bit more about public banking. And
thanks. It's good to be back.
It's we managed to get just a bit into public banking's role in the problem of immigrants and refugees coming from well, all quarters of the compass nowadays, and there are many other. This serves to highlight the many roles that public banking can serve, and as we get deeper into this Trump presidency, and states like California leading the way, and Oregon, what will be playing a more independent role, running their own economies and school systems, very likely. The public banking is going to be a significant player. Do you want to talk a little bit, based on what role it will play as far as solving the gap that is going to be left if the federal government does withdraw funding from states that are sanctuary cities, and then going on from there, there's many other things that it might address.
Certainly, and I would I'd invite people to read the article that Mark Armstrong and I wrote over at TruthDig. And the name of that article is Public Banks Can Help Cities Honor Their Commitment to to give sanctuary to immigrants. And again, that's over at Truthdig. We actually published it in December. But of course, this week, the Trump administration announced what had been anticipated. This is something that had been promised, which is this notion of cutting off federal funding. Now, the federal government's actually limited, and Trump is actually limited in how much he can hurt cities. It's not going to be just as easy as just an executive order or even a congressional act to just cut off funding to those cities. But insofar as any kind of funding is lost, many of those cities are ones that are considering and have strong public banking movements. And what a public bank does is allow a city or a county or a state, whoever charters it, to use its own money to lend to itself, to lend to its own businesses, to pay the interest back to itself, and ends up generating saving several million dollars a year for a small city would save, and generating a whole another pile of money on top of that. And that's how the state of North Dakota, with its own public bank, has managed to stay economically viable and strong, no matter what the federal government does and no matter what Wall Street does. In the article, we talk about Santa Fe, New Mexico, which is a sanctuary city. I mean, Santa Fe's been an immigrant city for 400 years, longer than the age of the U.S. Republic, and so of course they're going to be a sanctuary city. And Santa Fe is also contemplating having a public bank, and that bank, if they do implement it, could reduce debt service costs by $1 million a year, earn an annual profit. It would net the city over $10 million just in the first 5 years that the bank is open. And while that wouldn't completely offset the funds that the new administration is threatening to withhold, it would put the city in better shape to absorb the loss and begin the process of building an autonomous local economy, which Oregon has the opportunity to do now, which Washington has the opportunity to do now, and which certainly the state of California has the opportunity to do. You know, these are states and cities that are going to be making millions of dollars from the sale of recreational marijuana, who already have a lot of money that they can use to capitalize these banks. And so we envision these public banks as being a fortress against the encroachment of the federal government.
That opens up so many doors, especially thinking about some of the woes that are beset Oregon right now. All of our forests, over 90%, I believe it is, it's a staggering number, for forests have been logged, all in the name of a law made about 100 something years ago that said it presented timber industry as a source of funding for education for schools. And of course, this is back when we had more trees and fewer people. Mm-hmm. Now we've got too many people. So there's a possibility right there. There are towns in Southern Oregon now that are losing their libraries because the citizens voted down a tax which would have kept libraries open.
Right.
Public banking? Yes, please. Go.
I was going to say taxes are very unpopular, and you know, I don't want to. We can debate the merits of taxes. You know, I certainly believe that people in this economy should pay local taxes to support schools and other things. But they're very unpopular, and you know, the state of North Dakota doesn't have a state income tax. The Public Bank of North Dakota is one reason why it doesn't need it. And so, you know, at the very least, you could have some level of taxes, lower taxes than you have now, but still find ways that don't involve deforestation and don't involve, pillaging our natural resources in order to fund things like education and small businesses and infrastructure and other things. I always tell people to read Ellen Brown's great book, The Public Bank Solution. It's a great starter, or even if you're familiar with public banking, it's definitely a great book to read, and Ellen's a great writer. I try to explain to people that You know, basically, you are the banks create the money they lend. You capitalize a public bank as a public utility. It literally allows that public entity to use fractional reserve lending to create lines of credit, to create additional money, and also to pay that money back to itself. And that's why in North Dakota, you can finance a new school being built at maybe 1.5% interest, like they did a couple of years ago in North Dakota. Or you can do flood relief. You can do all kinds of natural disaster relief, all of these things at a fraction of the cost that we pay Wall Street to finance these projects in the status quo.
It's something that it was a good idea before Trump was president, and now it seems to be an absolutely essential next step if we are to preserve Oregon as the place that many people we all know and love. I want to thank you so much, Matt. That certainly should open some minds, open some eyes, open some doors, and give everybody something to think about over the weekend. Quickly, it was Ellen Brown's book was...
The Public Bank Solution, and also visit us, commonomicsusa.org, and also publicbanking.org.
Thank you so much. My guest, of course, has been Matt Stannard. Thanks so much for that, Matt. So generous with your time, as always. Sam Parrish engineered for us today. Thanks, Sam. Derek Cooks is the AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned.